Ian McIntyre wishes he lost his phone right now so he wouldn't have to deal with us.
Well, he would
us.
Know. Ian, what is Jenny's phone number?
I have no idea.
No. Ian, come on. Ian, one more. I'm going to give you one more chance.
Danny, I got no number. He's too young to remember.
There he is. He hit it. Turn it down.
Did you get it, Ian?
What was it, Ian?
8675209.
Yeah.
5309.
But that's pretty damn close, Ian.
Ian, do you got a hearing problem?
No, I'm missing a number.
Well, no, it's a 3 rather than a 2.
But Rick used to drunk dial that number all the time.
Jenny there? It's Rick.
Jenny. I'd like to order 2 pizzas.
Yes.
Hey, Ian, let's jump in here. Ian McIntyre from Sportsnet.ca, our Canucks insider here on the starting
lineup. By the way, thanks for having Berkey on the same morning I'm on. Like, who wants to listen? No one wants to listen to me now.
No, well, he gives you stuff that you can feed off, right? You would go listen to Berkey, then you'd write about it. It's the same setup that you made a career on.
I guess. A lot of those zingos were probably to me when I was asking him questions.
Yeah.
Ian, they were also, you know, Travis Green's big on pairs, just as we are, too. So we thought it was a nice combination with you and Brian Burke. You know what? We kind of look at the – here it's crunch time as the Canucks are trying to finalize their roster. One more preseason game to – is it not somewhat disappointing from a management and a coaching standpoint to kind of look at, say, you know, jobs are up for grabs and nobody really seems to be grabbing the opportunity outside of number 40?
Yes. I think what you'd like to see is a little more intensity and urgency. You'd like to see desperation. You know, in the old days, and I was talking to Stan Smeal about this at training camp, in the old days, the guys who really wanted to make the team, they did something to try and stand out every day. You know, whether it be a hit, whether it be a goal, occasionally it would be a fight, and I realize that doesn't happen anymore. But you just, the worst thing you could be was invisible and not noticeable. And so guys, you know, the good players who made the team, you noticed them every day. And it would be nice if, you know, you noticed a few more guys, and even the guys who maybe aren't good enough to be regular NHLers yet, even if you just noticed them a little more. But I also think what it does, and especially with regard to the young players, like everybody hoped that Adam Gaudette would be ready. Everyone wondered whether Jonathan Dahlin would be able to carry forward his outstanding play at the prospects tournament, you know, against NHL players. But I think what this training camp has shown is just how big a leap it is. And, you know, it's easy to say, oh, yeah, we're going to be patient. We're going to wait for these guys. But it's a lot harder to do in practice. And I think that's what's being tested right now. You know, Gaudette and Dahlin are going to be NHL players, and I'm just using them as an example because I mentioned them. But they're probably not ready to be NHL players yet. Now, everyday NHL players. Now, what about December? What about March? What about next fall? I think they are going to get there. But the NHL is just a huge step up from any other league. Any other league.
And Ian, is it a step?
Well, look at Thatcher Demko, how he's struggled. He's already played 2 years in the American Hockey League, and has been outstanding there. And it's a step up for him. So patience is what's being tested right now.
It is, and I'm curious if right now it'll be okay, and I wonder if the patience will be there in January if this veteran-laden team can't score and Jim Benning might be faced with the challenge of going, I know it would be great to get these guys another 3 or 4 months, but they're now going to have to learn on the fly. Do you think Nikolai Goldobin's the biggest disappointment at camp right now?
No, I don't, because I think that he had a good start, and now he's gone quiet the last couple of games. But I heard what Berkey said about him an hour ago, that even in junior you wouldn't notice him. At the end of the night, he's got 4 points. Well, if at the end of an NHL night he gets 1 point, then he'll be a success. He is an enigmatic player, and I don't know whether he can be an NHL player or not. He's one of those guys that you just wish realized the opportunity he has right now. I mean, a second line spot playing with Elias Pettersson, a potential rookie of the year winner, is sitting right there for Nikolai Goldobin. All he has to do is go out and seize it. This is his fifth year of pro hockey. If he doesn't seize it now, I don't know that there's any reason to think he's going to seize it down the road. It's right there for him now.
Ian, the biggest complaint I get from fans is 140 points left with the Twins and Vanek, and then they signed three grit guys on July 1st. Exactly how did they expect to come up with the 140 points? And that's just to get to the 140. That's not talking about extra goals or extra assists.
Yeah, well, that's a very good question. And I can, you know, I can only say what they have said about that, which is they were reserving their openings in the top six for their young players because they have skill in the system, and we're seeing Pettersson, so he's one of those pieces in the top six, but there hasn't been anybody else so far. And by Sunday, I think either Goldobin or Leipzig will be playing at least at the start of the season in the top six. But whether they can retain that, who knows? But I think the idea, their idea when they signed those guys, was that they didn't want to put roadblocks in front of Elias Pettersson and other skill prospects, and that they were going to bottom fill the lineup and leave those top spots open for their own young guys.
Sportsnet 650.